Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
All those insecurities, all those, you know, those feelings of worthlessness, and you know, it's a betrayal, but it's also a rejection.
So the big questions are these: how can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung, and I'm so excited to have a really, really special lady here with us today. I've gotten to know her a little bit over the past year, and she's just so quality and just amazing. You've seen her on Live with Kelly and Ryan from time to time. She is the founder of Trainers in Transit and the founder of Fresh Start Fitness. And her name is Jennifer Diamo. And I'm so happy to have you here with us today. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So I highlighted a little bit of your accomplishments, but tell us like what you're up to today. I want our listeners to get a sense of where you are today and before we kind of go back a little bit.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So like you said, I'm the founder of Trainers in Transit, which is a fitness company based in New York and recently expanded to LA. So we have a couple trainers out in LA now as well. So we're bi-coastal, which is really exciting. We do personal training, nutrition, group classes, pretty much everything health and wellness related. So I've had the business for about 10 years and recently sort of got into a little bit more specialized type of wellness. After I went through a divorce, that's when I created this Fresh Start Fitness program, which is geared towards helping divorced women kind of reinvent themselves, maybe is the word, or just sort of like if they've never worked out before, it's kind of like a stepping stone to get back into shape. Or if they were someone who was active, maybe they, you know, fell apart like I did when I was going through my stuff. And so they need something to kind of help reboot, you know, refresh and reboot them back into their fitness journey. So that's kind of how Fresh Start Fitness happened. And that's really been a big focus right now because we're working on doing the reboot of it, which is just an extended version of the original program. So we're opening it up to people going through transitions of any kind. So whether it's a new job, we move to a new city. So it could be like, you know, positive life changes as opposed to the negative ones. But anyone going through, you know, something new and they need a fresh start.
So, and I love that. And I love that you're empowering people in that space and using something that was really awful for you to deal with to empower others and kind of give them what you didn't have at that time, you know? Yeah, and so our show is Negotiate Your Best Life. And so, and the way I look at negotiate is, you know, you're negotiating everything in your life and navigating and negotiating with your own personal struggles and with, you know, your own stuff. And, you know, people could look at you and you're beautiful and you have, it, you know, what people might perceive as everything, you know, you're on TV and all of those things. But, you know, the bottom line is that we're all human beings, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, we all deal with our own stuff. So let's talk about what obstacles you've had to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Where should I start?
We're going right there.
Right there. I mean, a lot. Like, you know, so I was married for 15 years. And even though I always had my own career, I don't have any kids. So, you know, that made my divorce a little bit I don't want to say less challenging, but that was one less factor that I had to deal with. So that was that. But that said, it still was a huge change in my life. I mean, 15 years, 20 something years of being with the same person, to have that all end was kind of, it was devastating. And you don't know, I didn't know where to start. How do I start doing my life by myself? And
well, and I would think even though you didn't have children, and it makes it easier from the divorce perspective, but mm-hmm. maybe it's harder. Does it make it harder for you as a human because like your whole world was that person?
Yes, definitely. And I think also that there's no deflection, you know, there's no other focus. Now you're left with you. You don't have kids to, you know, sort of deter and to, you know, worry about and have other distractions, you know.
A reason to get up in the morning because you have to get them to school and you have right. to feed them. And
yeah, I had none of that, you know, so I really had no reason to do anything. But I had to make money. And so that was really hard because like I said, even though I had my own business, I was not the, you know, I hate the word breadwinner. It's like so antiquated, but I wasn't the one who made, you know, most of the money in our marriage. So that was a big shock for me. It was like, oh my gosh, how do I now afford a mortgage? How do I pay my bills? Like all of this is now my responsibility.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even go deeper than that too, because yeah. your divorce was public.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like a public humiliation factor mm-hmm. to it. Wasn't there?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that was, yeah, that was really hard in the sense that, you know, if you want to keep anything quiet, you can't. People were finding things out before I was. And so...
So that, does that like add to the betrayal?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's, you know, it's
because
just...
He betrayed you. I mean, not everybody listening is going to know... You know
right.
what happened. So, yeah. but he betrayed you in the marriage.
Yes.
And
yes,
he did. And so, the fact that you were finding stuff out from newspapers and things mm-hmm. was that after you'd been with this person for like 20 years. Like, how is that?
It's kind of shocking. It's sort of like, no, that can't be right. Like, they must have the wrong person. This isn't the person that I've known for 20 something years. You know, this is. No way. Like, no way is this happening. And then the more I was finding things out, I'm like, wow, this really is happening.
And does it make you question, like, was my whole life with him a lie?
Yes.
Or
it makes you question everything. It makes you question what was real, what wasn't. How did he do this? And for how long was he doing it? You know, there's still so many questions for me. I never had closure on this to this day. And, you know, we're going on like almost 5 years now, four years. And so I never had any closure. So I never got to ask those questions. I don't know the answers to things that are like, well, when did you start doing this? And when did you stop loving me? And when did you, you know that you wanted to leave? I mean, I don't know whether that would help or not knowing those things. It's just that the fact that I don't know them makes you ruminate over it. And it's like, well, I'm never going to know the answers to this. So maybe I should stop thinking about it.
Right.
But yet you stop thinking about it.
So do you think that you think about that? I mean, I know for myself, if that were me, I would be going, well, is there something that was wrong with me? Or do you just immediately go past that and go, no, I know it wasn't me. It had to have been, you know, or do you spend time in like, was I not attractive enough or was I not? I mean, I know that's what I would do. I just don't know, you know, tell us about how that would be for you.
Yeah, you're really going deep, Rebecca. yes, all of that, especially when it's something like this, where the person, I mean, look, people get divorced and the parties move on, but to know who that person is that your spouse has moved on with, then you start to draw all these comparisons and you start to think like, oh, well, because she has this and she has that and I don't have that. And, you know,
it's like, why wasn't I good enough or whatever?
Yeah, like, what What made him go to her? Why didn't, you know? Yeah.
I would think it would like dig up any old head trash that you probably, you know, for me it would. Like, you know, because all of us carry around head trash. Like, I'm not worthy in some way, right? Does it like bring all that back to the surface? Like,
all those insecurities, all those, you know, those feelings of worthlessness and, you know, it's a betrayal, but it's also a rejection. And it's like,
yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
I mean, and it's a hard rejection.
Sucks.
Like, you know, I'm leaving and guess what? I'm also never going to talk to you again. We are never going to speak and we are never going to see each other. I mean, those.
So you never have spoke to him again?
Yeah.
Really?
No. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and that is also the part that like stays with me a lot. You know, everyone who says like, well, you know, he did this, this, and this, and he's such a jerk and you should just, and it's like, right. All of those things should make me want to say, who cares? Bye. But you can't, this is a person that was part of your life, no matter what they did to you, you know? And for me, it's coming to terms with, well, I think that I was married to one side of this person and there was a whole other side that I did not know about.
Would you say that he's a narcissist or has narcissistic tendencies?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you see that when you were married to him?
A little bit. I wouldn't go as far as saying narcissist. I think I would have said that he has an ego. And he, you know, it to me came across as confidence and, you know, never had a negative tone to it. Now it does. Yeah. Now, you know, looking back.
Now and that then, you've seen the other side.
Sure. Now that I see the other side and I see, you know, what he did to me, not only, you know, the way he left, but even post leaving, all of the stuff he put me through during the divorce, it's like, this shouldn't have been a hard divorce. This should have been like over in, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm still today, 4 years later, dealing with stuff from that is just unfathomable to me. And mostly it's his behavior is so not the person that I thought. So it makes me question my own judgment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think sometimes though, the person who wronged the other person acts worse in a divorce to try to like make noise, to make it look like you're so bad, to take away from their own bad behavior.
Right. 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 Yeah. And I wonder, you know, I wonder even now, like, well, what's he saying about me? And there's, you know, there's obviously always another side to it. I don't know how you could possibly spin it.
People say whatever they want to say about whatever. I mean, that's the terrible thing about anything, you know, and especially if you only isolate certain things or, I mean, you know, being in the public eye, like you can take any stream of text messages and spin them to say whatever you want them to say.
Yeah. 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 That's true. And that's probably what he's doing. You know, who knows? I try not to think about that.
You can't because you'll drive yourself crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's answers that you're never going to have. So it doesn't matter. It just doesn't. And I've kind of learned to accept that, I guess.
So before you got divorced, were you already into fitness and nutrition and
yes.
Were you already a trainer?
I was. I just probably stepped it up a bit once I went through all of that.
So you've talked about how it really, this took you down, the whole thing. So here you are, you're a personal trainer, you're into fitness, you're into taking care of yourself, and that's your whole thing. And this happens. And you've said in the past, like, I couldn't even get out of bed.
Mm-mm. Yeah. It was kind of crazy. It was like, I became a person that I didn't recognize. I'm like, what am I doing? I mean, I'm not leaving the house, essentially. I wasn't exercising. I wasn't eating very much. I was depressed, but I was also, it was more than that. It was like this kind of like shock. It was such a shock that I was processing things. It took me a long time just to process what had happened. There was no warning, you know, so I didn't have that like, oh, my marriage is going down the tubes, and I like have a little heads up about it. It's like, I had
so
no,
you thought everything was great.
Yes, I had no idea. And so it, I think, took me longer because I had to go through that, like, what just happened period, you know?
It's like PTSD or something.
Kind of. I guess so. I mean, it was just, you know, you go through, like, I guess all those stages of grief, right? And it was
this anger,
denial, and then, you know,
bargaining, like, if I had, could have just been better in this
that's
way.
Right. Or... That's one of the big things. It's like, well, I mean, and I tried in the beginning, like, to save it. I thought, like, well, what if I just, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what's wrong. So I don't know what to fix. But if I can find that out, I'll fix it and I'll make it better. And like, I don't want to get divorced. I don't want to do this. You know, what can I do? And it's funny how you think like that it's you, you know, well, it's got to be me. He's leaving me. So it's not him. It's me.
Well, it's because that old head trash starts resurfacing, right?
Yeah. Totally.
It's so toxic, that damn head trash.
<It's> totally.
I mean, like, we need freaking hazmat to come in and take it out.
Yeah, all those stories that you tell yourself, even still now, you know, I start to, you know, I make things up in my head. I'm like, that might not be true. You know, why am I telling myself that?
But then you say it to yourself over and over again, and you start believing that.
Crap, start to believe, you know? It. Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
Coming up, more with Jennifer Giamo on Nuclear Meltdown, how to overcome toxic divorce emotions and create a fresh start.
How were you able to get past all of that? What happened? Like, give us, like, okay, I started to get out of bed. I started to eat. I started to, like...
Literally was, yet.
Emotions are one of the hardest parts of a breakup to navigate and negotiate. Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca's interview with Jane Portnoy, where we learned how to process emotions through journaling.
There's a lot of our listeners that are dealing with breakup, that are dealing with divorce.
Yeah.
And you went through a very painful breakup.
Sure did.
And, you know... the guy what didn't treat you very well, the way he should have, and all of those things. And so tell us how you used writing, if you did.
I did.
To help heal from that.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know that I ever thought, like, oh, I used writing as my tool to heal myself. I used it as an opportunity to be honest with myself.
Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
And now we return to today's show.
Yeah, so how were you able to get past all of that? What happened? Like, give us, like, okay, I started to get out of bed. I started to eat. I started to, like...
It literally was it was all these, like, little steps. Like, you know, my mom would say to me, like, just, you have to do something. Like, you've got to, you know, just one little, try to do one thing every day, just one little thing every day. And that's basically how I started, was like, all right, A, I have to start working again. I mean, I was not even seeing clients. I wasn't.
And what, had you been on television or anything at that point?
I had been years prior to that, but not that, like, anybody would, you know who.
Not
who,
like, now.
No, it wasn't, you know, and then when all of this came out, which is funny, it's kind of why I changed the name of my business, because when all this tabloid stuff started happening, anytime someone Googled my company, which used to be called JG Fitness, all of this stuff would come up. And I'm like, oh, I can't go back to work and try to get new clients when people will Google me and they're like, oh, she's like a tabloid story, you know? It was embarrassing.
You didn't want to be.
Right.
It had nothing to do with you.
Yeah. And it wasn't something obviously that I did that put me there, but, right. but it was still embarrassing. I'm like, I don't want to be associated with that, especially given who that person is, because she has a terrible reputation. So it's like, I don't want to be associated with someone that has a really bad reputation to begin with.
Even though that only just says more about her or him, nothing about you.
Yeah, true. I guess so. But it's all like, it's all yucky. Like, it was all like,
that's true. Like the bad energy.
It's all bad energy. Totally. Yeah. And that's not what I'm about. And I don't want to be associated with that, you know? So let's change the name of the company. Let's see if we can like go from there. So I did. So as far as like getting back to like a healthy way of being, I think it just was really, really slow, small steps. I started doing meditation because I was able to do that at home. I didn't have to go anywhere. Didn't have to see people. I also looked terrible, like after being like in bed for like a few weeks and like a couple months of just not eating like nutritious food or doing like, I looked awful and I didn't want to see people. Then I started going to yoga because I'm like, all right, I have to start moving, but I'm not ready to like do anything aggressive. So let me try to like slowly get back into some kind of exercise. So I did that. I got really into it. I started to go on yoga retreats and I was really loving it. And then I kind of just slowly, like one step at a time, just kind of started incorporating little things that were active and had me like socializing a little more. And then I met you and I met all these like amazing women who are so supportive, like this whole network of women that I never, like, I'm so, it's funny, like how you're put in a position that ends up being so great for you. You know, it's like, I would never have created Fresh Start Fitness if I didn't go through this. I wouldn't have met like all these great people that have been so helpful in so many ways, you know, not just through like, I mean, the divorce was over, you know, but just people who get it and they understand like what you went through and where you are now and how I can then support other people in what they're going through, because I didn't have that when I was going through it.
So assess the person that you were when you were still married to him and compare it to the person that you are today.
That's a great question. I've thought a lot about that. I think that I was, when I was married to him, I think I was, I want to say maybe a little insecure. I wasn't as confident. He was always the person who, you know, we'd go to a party and like, he would be the one who would talk to everyone and who would be, you know, he was definitely in the forefront. And I think I was more in the shadows, which was kind of my choice too. I didn't have that big personality. I mean, I wasn't, you know, shy, but I wasn't a super outgoing, you know, gregarious person like he was. And so I think that I'm so different now. It's so weird. Even with like some of this TV stuff, I mean, that was his deal. You know, he was into, and I never wanted anything to do with it. I was like, nope, that's not for me. I'm, you know, this is what I do. And
so do you think that you were kind of holding yourself back to allow him to shine in some way, or was there some subconscious element of that?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't think that at the time. Maybe subconsciously, I don't know. I just always thought that was kind of like, we were good like that. That was how we kind of balanced each other out. We were a little bit different in that respect. And so I just never really thought anything of it.
And how are you different or better today?
I'm definitely much more confident. The fact that I can like talk about this in front of people is huge. I mean, you know, like we did the divorce retreat and I got up there and told my whole story and it was like, who is this person right now? It's almost like you're looking at yourself from above, you know, like from the outside. Oh,
yeah.
That's me saying that? Okay. I think just more confident and definitely more compassionate.
Mm. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. More understanding about people who've been through
way
struggle.
Way more. I mean, I used to think about divorce like, oh, people got divorced. You know, like I never, like it was just a word to me. It was like, oh, well, something must have been screwed up in that marriage, you know, like, and then going through it, I'm like, oh my God, this is like for real. Like this is horrible. You know, it was, so I think it gave me a whole new perspective on divorce, and it made me way more compassionate towards people going through anything really. And just kind of realizing that, you know what? Everyone is going through something at some point. You know, I get on the subway 100 times a day, right? And you see the craziest things. And now my perspective is, well, I wonder what they're going through. I wonder what's happening with that person. There's clearly something wrong in their life that they're, you know, acting like that. Yeah. So that's very different for me. I don't think I had that kind of patience and that understanding before.
That's really good. And is there anything that you still struggle with, like obstacles?
Yeah. Yes. you know, still trying to get my business to a place where I feel like I'm really comfortable. And I mean, I love what I do. I'll never stop doing this. But trying to think of different ways to build the business and grow the business always. Because it's scary. It's scary living in New York alone and having a mortgage. And, you know, especially with a business like mine where it's up and down all the time. You don't have a consistent salary. You don't have health insurance. You know, it's like all these things that you're paying for out of pocket. So money, I guess, is always like a source of anxiety for me. And what was the question? Oh, I struggle with.
So who are your go-to people, like, you know, authors or books or speakers or mentors, like when you need a motivation or when you need to shift in some way?
I call you.
I love our network of amazing, incredible, strong women. I swear.
Oh my God. We have such a great, great network of women. It's amazing. But as far as like, I guess, motivate. One of my very, very favorite, and this was from the beginning when I started meditating up until today, I still listen to her all the time. Her name is Sarah Blondin, and she does these meditations. She has a podcast called, oh my gosh, it's escaping me right now. I don't even know if it's a podcast or it's just like her series. She does like these courses. Anyway, her name is Sarah Blondin, and she's fantastic. She has this like soothing voice and her meditations make you cry. Like they're just,
that's so neat.
They're really, really cool. Louise Hay is another one that
she's so good.
Yeah. Anything by Louise Hay is great. Brene Brown, I guess now is kind of the new, you know, the new guru.
But I love Brene Brown. I mean, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
And is there a particular book that you're reading right now that you think is amazing or?
I'm rereading this book called Reinventing Your Life. And it's Jeffrey Young, and it's all these different like techniques and tools and things. And like, I'm the nerd who like is highlighting the book and like I take little notes. So I'm kind of going back through it now and doing that again. Vicki Stark is another author who when I read her first book, it was called Runaway Husbands. I swear I thought she wrote it about me.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Exactly. It was my story. And like reading that, I think was the first time I realized that there are other women who went through like a really similar experience to mine where they decided, you know,
right.
Reading that was really interesting. Again, like it's very, you know, the tears are flowing. And then she wrote a second one, a follow-up to that called Planet Heartbreak, which was also pretty good.
Cool.
Like, I'm like the self-help library of books.
So is there something that you do like first thing in the morning to get your day and, you know, center yourself or to get your day off on the right start or anything like that? Or
a lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee. I Well, I mean, I have clients pretty early in the morning, most days. So I try to get up. I like to get up way ahead of the time that I need to, because I hate to feel like this pressure of like running and starting work right away, no matter what time it is. So I really like to, and it's funny, it is actually coffee. It's my ritual of going to this one place for my coffee in the morning, and I just sit for like 10 minutes. I just sit and I don't look at my phone and I don't look at anything. And I just sit there and I just kind of not think about it. Just don't think about anything. I try to like blank my mind, drink my coffee, and
it's
then
like meditation.
Yeah,
coffee.
Yeah, like a silent meditation, just with me and my coffee before all the craziness starts.
Very good. So this has been so enlightening. I love having these deep conversations with people, and especially people like you who are just up to amazing things. And I just think it's so important for all of us to share, like, hey, we've all struggled a lot.
Yeah.
We've all been in the ditch.
Definitely. You know? Like, no matter what it looks like on the outside, you know, we live this social media life world that like everything looks so shiny. And it's like, well, it's not always like that.
Yeah. I mean, we try to stay in that place, but it's not always easy to, you know? So it's a daily thing that you have to constantly, you know, like even for myself, when I start to go down into the negative thinking, I have to go, okay, pivot. What can I think of? You know, what can I put on? Like what YouTube video or podcast or audiobook or something to get me out of that? Because otherwise I can like ruminate with the best of them, you know, it'd be like, hours later, I'm still like obsessing about this thing or whatever it is, you know.
You know what's funny? It's like you try to change the outcome in your head. If it's something that you're ruminating over that has already happened, it's so futile. It's the worst thing. It's like torturing. You are torturing yourself.
Yeah.
You're never changing the outcome in your head.
No. But, you know, I just recently learned about this guy named Neville Goddard who lived like in this, you know, he died, I think, in like the early 70s even. But he was like the father or the beginning of this whole way of thinking that thoughts become things and all of that. Right. And you can go on YouTube and watch his old thing, or listen to his old speeches and things. But and there's like a compilation of his books on audiobooks. But one of the things that he suggests is instead of ruminating, just replay the thing that happened in a way that has the outcome that you wanted, like especially right before you go to sleep, like just rework it, like as if you're rewriting it.
Yeah.
It's really
that is interesting that, you know, and I think I've told you this before that I see a shaman and we'll do these meditations sometimes or like shamanic journeys. And sometimes, you know, I'll tell them a story about something and be like, all right, do you want to change the ending to that? I'm like, what do you mean? And he takes me through like a guided meditation where we change the end. Well, you are actually kind of changing the ending in your own mind. And it's so cool. It was like, we do it a lot with dreams when I have like these, you know, really kind of intense dreams that I feel not so great when I wake up, and I'll tell him like, oh my God, this happened. And, you know, we go through like the interpretation of it. And then he'll say, all right, well, let's change the ending of that. And we do it and it works. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Because thoughts become things. So if you keep thinking about that, then you're going to get more of that. And so I'm very aware of that. So I keep going pivot, get away, get away from me. So where can people find out more about you?
They can go to my website, trainersintransit.com. All the information on me is there. My bio is there. And they can, you know, click on the different tabs and it'll take them to other places where they can see some videos and some segments that I've done and things like that. So,
yeah. And we have, you have a new Fresh Start Fitness coming out.
Fresh Start Fitness. Coming out in January. We're in the process of editing everything together right now. We had a big weekend this past weekend of shooting a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm so excited.
Well, by the time this airs, it'll be out.
Awesome. 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 So then, yes, then they can download it from my website at that point. And hopefully it'll be some other places too, some other platforms as well. So
yeah,
everyone's going to know about it by then. By the time this airs, you're going to be like, oh, that's the girl from Fresh Start Fitness.
Yes. And everybody go get it right now. Stop what you're doing. Yes, go to Trainers in Transit right now. Jump on your phone and go get it.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you so much. Right.
Thank you.
This was great.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.